All Things Gardening time is here. I'm Mary Engish, the show's producer. But the real deal, the Duke of Dirt, it's Charlie Nardozzi.
The Duke of Dirt, that's a new one.
Just trying to spice up those intros. Charlie, we've had some warmer temperatures and some melting snow, and it sort of gets home gardeners really psyched for spring. It's also flower show season, and I understand you're attending some. Where are you going, and how the heck did indoor flower shows even get started?
Yeah, it's kind of fascinating, actually. You know, flower shows all started in England, as you can imagine, England and Europe. Back in 1913, the famous Chelsea Flower Show was started, and that's in a park, usually towards the middle to end of May, where all these famous garden designers come from around the world to do designs in this park. They get 160,000 visitors over 4 days. But the indoor shows that we really have is kind of a unique American phenomenon. Of course, the granddaddy of them all is the Philadelphia Flower Show. It's been going since 1829. It's a 10-day show. They have 300,000 people coming. I'm going to be there this weekend talking about no-dig gardening. It's an amazing show because it's almost like a theatrical performance with the gardens and the flowers and the trees blooming and the bulbs blooming and cut flowers hanging off the ceiling and music and lights. It's pretty amazing, actually. So that's kind of the biggest show that's around. There's another nice one out in Seattle called Northwest Flower and Garden Show, and that one has display gardens, but it really is known for its seminar series. You can go out there for 4 or 5 days and learn a lot because there's some great gardeners that come speak to that show. But the Vermont Show is still here, and that's happening March 7th, 8th, and 9th, and I'll be there on the Friday the 7th giving some talks. And what's unique about our show in our state is that the Vermont Nursery and Landscape Association banded together to create one big garden. So instead of nurseries and companies creating their own little gardens, they have one big garden, and it's really outstanding. I mean, they've been doing this for a while now, and it's pretty impressive. So if you really want a hit of spring, this is a good idea. Go to a flower show, go to the Vermont show, maybe make plans to go to Philadelphia. Hey, why not?
Well, Charlie, there's a couple of listeners who wrote in with some questions. The first one comes from Susan, who wrote in to say, hi, Charlie and Mary, do you have a favorite source for seed ginger?
Well, Susan, seed ginger really doesn't exist. The culinary ginger that we grow is usually asexually propagated by the rhizomes, taking cuttings from the rhizomes and rooting them. The seed itself, sometimes it's sterile, and it's very rare to find. So I don't think you're going to find seed ginger. But if you go to a grocery store and get some organic ginger, which hasn't been treated with growth-inhibiting chemicals, then you could take that home, take a piece of it with some eyes that are on that piece, just like potatoes have eyes, ginger has eyes too, plant it in a pot about an inch deep with moisture on it, and then keep it in a warm place. And over about a period of a month, it'll start sprouting. And then you can grow it outside in the summer, and you're not going to get it to grow as big as the ginger you see in the stores, because ginger really needs a long growing season. But you'll get what we call baby ginger. And this is baby ginger. It's kind of white and pink, a very delicate, nice flavor to it, but just doesn't store so well. So that would be the way to have ginger in your garden and on your table.
Oh, I'm going to go home and do that right now. Stephanie in Essex has a question for you too. Stephanie writes, I'm a new homeowner in the town of Essex. I'm excited to plant my first patch of asparagus this spring. The sunny spot that I've chosen is currently covered in grass and drifts of snow, but can you tell me how I might get rid of the grass so that I can have workable soil to plant the crowns in early to mid-May?
Yes, Stephanie, being in Essex means that you probably have sandy soil, which is great because asparagus loves sandy soil. It's native to the Mediterranean, where it grows in sand dunes and places like that. So it's a good spot. It's great that it's full sun. What you're going to do in the spring is dig a trench 1 foot deep in the area where you want to have your asparagus and make little mounds, like little volcano mounds in the bottom, about a foot apart. That's for each one of these roots that you're going to be planting. Then you want to get some varieties that are all male varieties, like Millennium and the Jersey hybrids. These are good varieties because they don't form seed, and the seed can drop and the little babies start growing and ends up crowding out the bed. And they're more productive and disease resistant. So get those varieties, plant them, one of them that they're like spider-like roots over that mound in the soil, cover over the roots just to the top. Once they start growing, just continue to backfill that trench. And then once you're done, and when it goes all the way up to the soil line, water it, keep it well weeded. In a couple of years, you'll be eating asparagus.
If you've got questions for Charlie, send them to us, gardening@vermontpublic.org, and listen to this wherever you listen to podcasts. Thanks, Charlie.
You're welcome, Mary, and I'll be seeing you in the garden.